The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th and 16th chapters. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I did not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is a major festival of the church year. It's the day of Pentecost, the day we celebrate the work of the Holy Spirit, and we also celebrate the beginning of the Christian church here on this earth. As we heard the gospel, the first lesson read today out of the book of Acts, it tells that story of the disciples in that upper room when the Holy Spirit came in and filled them, and they went out into the streets and they proclaimed the message of Jesus Christ in the languages where people could hear them. And as a result of that, 3,000 persons were baptized on that day, the beginning of the Christian church here on this earth. In the Bible, it's interesting to look at the word spirit in the original languages because they carry a little bit different connotation of just our English word of spirit. There is a deep and rich meaning to the words. In Hebrew, the word is ruach, and in Greek, the word is pneuma. And those words, both of them, don't only mean spirit or just our word spirit. They can be translated in some other ways then too. One of the other ways that they can be translated is as wind, such as at the beginning of the Bible, it says that the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. If you look at some other versions of the Bible, it also says the wind of God hovered over the face of the waters. And so that kind of describes of who the Spirit is. It's the wind proceeding from God, coming out of God. Or as Jesus was in conversation with Nicodemus, he said the Spirit is as the wind. Again, that word pneuma. You don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it goes, but you hear the sound of it. It's that sound. Or again, too, like in our lesson today out of Acts, where the disciples were gathered together in that upper room, and it sounded like a rush. It actually says here, a violent wind, or a mighty wind that comes in. That spirit just fills the place. You can't see it, but you can hear it. You can feel the effects of it, of that wind coming in. Another way that these words are translated is as breath. Again, going back to the creation stories, of where God took that lump of clay and he breathed his breath into that clay and it became alive. It became a human being. It's that life-giving breath of God. Again, some other translations said God breathed his spirit into that dirt or into that dust. And it became alive. God gives us life through his breath, through his spirit. Or another story where it's used in that same connotation is when God takes Ezekiel out into the valley of the dry bones and he shows them all this destruction and all these bones. And then God breathes upon these skeletons and the skeletons start forming together and sinews and flesh and muscle come together. And the skeletons, the people, become alive. It's that breath of God that gives life, that flows into us, giving us that spirit. The spirit's probably the most difficult to understand of our Holy Trinity. We say God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as such then, you know, we can understand the image of Father as God the Father who created everything, the heavens and the earth, the Father who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-hearing, without limits of time or without space, and always has been and always will be. We can understand God the Father or have a concept of that. We can also understand the person, the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, Jesus Christ, because God, Jesus came into this world. God came into this world through Jesus Christ as his Son and became human. He became flesh just like us. And he walked around with us. He taught, he preached, he healed, he showed the signs of the kingdom of God. And then he died on the cross for our salvation and rose again, giving us the promise of eternal life. And so we can understand that. We hear those stories. But the Spirit's a little bit harder to understand. We can't put our finger on it. What is the wind? I mean, you can't see the wind. You can't see the breath. But you can see the effects of it. You can see what it does. The Spirit, again, is the third person of the Trinity. And as a person, so to speak, we can relate to that as well then too, because the Spirit can still talk to us. We can be in conversation with the Spirit. We can hear the Spirit, and the Spirit can hear us. The Spirit pulls us and calls us into faith. The work of the Spirit is important in our lives. You would think, you know, we've got everything already by God the Father, God the Son. God the Father created everything. Everything that we have, everything that we need for life, that breath of life, and everything else, God has already given to us. But because of the fall, we also needed Jesus Christ to see that love of God, that even though we are in fallen humanity, God still loved us so much that he sent his only Son into this world. And we see that love, we see that work of Jesus Christ, which brings salvation to us, that restores our righteousness back to God, so that we are saved. So that we are redeemed, so that we know that we will have eternal life with God. So if we've been if we have been created, if we've already been saved and given that promise of eternal life, why do we need that Spirit? What is the work of that Spirit? Martin Luther put it this way in the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. Martin Luther writes, "The Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in true faith." In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it united in one true faith. Now, there's some key words here in that explanation. One key word is calls. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit calls. I think within each and every one of us, there is a yearning for God. In every single human being, there is a yearning for God. For a lot of people, they completely ignore that yearning. They completely blot it out, and they refuse to believe that there is a God. But it's still there, because the Holy Spirit continues to work on us. Whether we believe or not, that Spirit continues to work on us. Sometimes people take that yearning and they misinterpret it. And throughout the history of humanity, there have been gods of all sorts, all natures, made-up gods, images, nature, whatever. Anything can become a god. Even our own selves. Our own selves become our own gods too often. But there is that yearning to know God, to know the meaning of life. And I think that comes from that Holy Spirit when God breathed into us His Spirit. He breathed into us His breath. And because of that, we want to know God. We want that connection. We want that relationship with God. Another key word here is gathers. It's important that Christians do come together. It's important that we come together to give worship, to give thanks, to give praise to God, to hear the concerns of one another, to lift each other up, to be able to pray together in unison to God, and also to be fed with that body and blood of Jesus Christ in the sacrament. And so the Holy Spirit calls us together and gathers us up in one place to be here, to uplift and uphold one another. Which leads us then to the other word, the next word, enlightens. As we come into worship, we are enlightened. We hear that message of God. Enlightened, I think, is a lot like that same word, epiphany. If you remember epiphany from a few months ago, epiphany is finally getting it, that light bulb that comes on top of our heads. We are enlightened. We understand. And if we don't have faith, that faith comes. Or if we do have faith, that faith is enriching. There is so much darkness in this world. Again, this week we heard about those school shooting in Santa Fe. So much darkness in the world. Or you look around the rest of the world and the politics and the rattling of sabers and all the dangerous things that are out there. There is so much darkness, so much evil in this world. But the Holy Spirit calls us, He gathers us, and then He brings that enlightenment to us. In that story again today from Acts, one of the things, it wasn't only the mighty rush of wind that came into the room, but you also remember in that story there were tongues of fire. Tongues of light. It brings light to the darkness of this world. And shines that light of Jesus Christ so that we can know God. So that we can know that love of God. We can know that salvation that we have received from Him. So the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens. Spirit also sanctifies. Sanctifies sounds like a churchy word, but actually what it just means is holy, a holiness. The Holy Spirit brings holiness. Or another way to put it, the function of the job, and this is the main job of the Holy Spirit, is to keep us holy. God created us holy when He first made us. Jesus Christ makes us holy through His blood. And so we have been made holy. We have been called children of God. But to keep us there, the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. The job of the Holy Spirit is to keep us holy. If you notice, this place that we are in today is actually called the sanctuary. It comes from sanctify. It's a holy place. It has been set aside for the work of God. And that's what sanctify means. It has been set aside. It has a special purpose to be holy. And that's where we gather today, is in this sanctuary, because it is here in the sanctuary that we are reminded of the works of God. We hear His scripture, we hear His word, we are nourished at His table. And so the Holy Spirit sanctifies us, keeps us holy. And that brings us then to the last word of keeps. The Holy Spirit keeps us united in the one true faith. Like I mentioned earlier, there is a lot of evil in this world. There's a lot of forces that would like to draw us away from God. But it is the job of the Holy Spirit to continually to be within us, to be a part of our lives, so that we are kept in that one true faith. So that as all these other forces are trying to drag us out, that we may remain true to God. The Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies and keeps the whole Christian church on earth united in the one true faith in Jesus Christ. It is our work now, then, as we are filled with this Holy Spirit, to go out and proclaim that kingdom of God, to proclaim, to fulfill that yearning that people have within themselves to know God and to know what God has in store for them. The Holy Spirit fills us with His Spirit so that we can do those things. I've got one story this morning, and I don't know if I've told this one before, but it is it does pertain to the Spirit. There was a pastor who, week in and week out, every Sunday would prepare a sermon to preach. And then sometimes it would be more than once a week if there was the occasional funeral or the wedding or special times like during Lent. And every week he would have to prepare a sermon and preach it. He was worn out. He was tired. And he thought, this week I'm not going to do the work on the sermon. I am simply going to pray to God and open myself up to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will bring the message this Sunday morning. And so he was excited about that. And on Monday, he opened up his ears so that he could listen to the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit didn't come on Monday. On Tuesday, once again, he was waiting for that Holy Spirit to speak to him, but the Holy Spirit didn't come on that day either. On Wednesday, he was starting to get a little bit nervous because once again, the Holy Spirit didn't come. On Thursday, he wasn't overly worried yet because there were still a few more days left in the week for that Holy Spirit to come and speak to him. On Friday, he was actually starting to get worried because he still hadn't heard from that Holy Spirit. And then on Saturday, he was wondering, what should he do? There's not enough time left anymore to prepare the sermon, to put the work into it. But he trusted in God that the Holy Spirit would come and speak to him. And so on Sunday morning, it was time to start church, and he still hadn't heard. And he was still hoping for that word from the Holy Spirit. And they went through the opening liturgy and the opening hymns, and it was time for him to step up into the pulpit. And as he was stepping up into those steps into the pulpit, lo and behold, the Holy Spirit speaks to him and brings the message to him. And the message that the Holy Spirit brings to him was, "You're lazy." God has sent His Holy Spirit to us, and it is true. The Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies, and keeps us. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit also brings gifts to us. Maybe that gift is preaching. Maybe it's teaching. Maybe it's a gift of healing. Maybe it's a gift of prophecy. Maybe it's a gift of simply caring, or that ability to pray, or that ability to discern what people need or who they are. The Holy Spirit brings each and every one of us gifts to serve the Lord in His own way. But that is it. We have those gifts. We need to use those gifts. If we don't use those gifts are worthless. The Holy Spirit fills us in our hearts so that we may serve God. And so this morning we pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill our lives and lead us always. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.